today, because I have this technology at my fingertips, I want to share a short video as I begin my sermon. So here's this little this was a viral video a few years ago.
Do you want strawberry milk?
Yeah. Thank you, Mama. Thank
You're
you.
welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mama.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mama.
Okay, outside.
Whoa. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. You got it, you got it, you got it. No, you don't got it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mama.
You're welcome. Go share with Auntie.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mama.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama.
You're welcome. Put it down.
Thank you, Mama.
You're welcome. Go eat with Daddy. Bye.
Oh, goodness. I don't know about you, but I can't help smiling when I watch that. It's pretty hard to get through that without smiling. This was a video that during the height of the COVID pandemic a few years ago, and it was also, you know, that June was the uprising for Black Lives, and there's this little toddler who like broke through the urgency of this of activism and panic. And here's this little guy who, you know, at least on my, you know, internet media, and this like with this pure joy and gratitude, like this thank you, thank you, thank you. My children were never that grateful. This TikTok account called Gray and Mama, it went viral with this compilation of his like delight, and I mean it's just beautiful snacks, but just like snacks and food. And it's not only so adorable to watch this little toddler's delight. There's like something about his sincere expression of gratitude for the meal that's just like so compelling to watch. Psalm 20 or Psalm 9, as Kevin read it, begins, "I will give thanks to you with my whole heart," which is almost this like childlike spirit of joy and gratitude. And it begins, as many of the Psalms do, with an outpouring of praise and gratitude and love to our Creator, to God, and for all that God does in the world. However, Psalm 9 doesn't stay with that simple expression of gratitude for too long. There's a progression throughout the span of these two Psalms. Even though Psalm 9 is mostly rooted in thanksgiving, it's complicated. It's a complicated gratitude because the writer has experienced hardship and pain and oppression, and then sees that God has been present throughout these times of pain and hardship, and that God's hand in the stump in stumbling the oppressive forces. But then, especially as the psalmist takes a turn into that next chapter, you hear more pleading and anger and despair when you hear the psalmist say, "Rise up, Lord, let the nations be judged. Why do you stand so far off?" So you begin with this very like simple joy and delight, and it gets complicated, and then it gets angry even. There's this bigger awareness of injustice in the world, and maybe even in the psalmist's own life. And what I love about the Psalms is they reflect the way we, even now, the expression we have to God and within ourselves of how we experience the world. And like the psalmist, we sometimes feel like we might catch a glimpse of joy and delight, maybe, you know, watching a little toddler be delighted in the world, or a moment in nature, or we you know, read something really wonderful, or we binge watch TV that we a TV series we really love. We're still surrounded by the urgency of violence, war, injustice. I felt those two things juxtaposed this week when I was at the playground with Ori. And, we were there in Georgetown in a playground, and Blue Angels jets and warplanes are just, roaring over the heads of these playing children. And those two things just felt, like I was just feeling both of those emotions at the same time, the delight in seeing children play at a spray park, and the anger and grief of experiencing, what are really truly weapons of war, flying over our heads. And there's a kind of a cultural emphasis within our culture of an emphasis on gratitude that seems a little bit simplified to me sometimes, a little bit trite. And it's summed up in, bumper stickers and sayings on t-shirts. Even just this morning when I picked up my coffee, there were like racks of stickers in the coffee shop, and multiple stickers said "good vibes only." Or I've also seen things like "have an attitude of gratitude," and I appreciate gratitude, but to me the world feels a lot more complicated than that. And so I appreciate the nuance of the psalmist's Thanksgiving. I feel the longing and the rage that the psalmist, when they cry out, "Break the arm of evildoers, seek out their wickedness until you find none." I feel so angry and sad about lives lost in Gaza and wars in the Ukraine and Sudan and the Congo, and some of those barely receiving attention, about Black women shot in their homes when they call law enforcement. I mean, I can barely speak my rage and sadness about those things. But rage, that kind of rage that I feel within me, isn't really sustainable, because it burns hot and then it burns out. And any movement for change, for justice, if we truly want the wickedness of inequity to be broken, needs to be grounded in something deeper. So where, when I think about that, when I think about how can I find gratitude, how can I find joy and connection, it's not going to be in the simple and the delight in a pancakes on a plate, but it's going to have to be rooted in something much deeper, in belonging to a community that's responding to injustice. With relation to the movement for Palestine in particular, I find a lot of hope and gratitude in the uprising itself, in the swell and movement that feels different. It feels different than it has before. And I'm so grateful for folks who are training in nonviolent action, who, all of those Mennonites who marched to DC and joined with so many others of so many faiths, to put their freedom at risk in doing actions in the Capitol. I'm inspired and take hope from people who keep writing and calling their lawmakers, people who are letting issues like Gaza affect the way they vote this year. And I'm grateful for all of you. I'm grateful to be holding this together with a community of faith who cares about injustice in the world. The psalmist often follows a pattern, and Walter Brueggemann calls this pattern orientation, disorientation, reorientation. The psalm begins in this steady place of simple praise or thanksgiving. And from there, it moves into a feeling of uneasiness or discomfort, maybe even pain, maybe even struggle. And then in that psalm, a world that's unsettled or distanced from the Creator, that feels like God is not present, often, except in a very small handful of cases in the Psalms, the psalmist then does another turn, who they reorient back to a place of confidence, of knowing that God is present. So, like, thanksgiving, acknowledging pain and injustice, naming God's presence within that pain and injustice, knowing that God is present and active. that God is on the side of the oppressed, that God will not abandon us. And that's also something that I can be grateful for. When we follow Jesus, we are accompanied by the one who does justice for the orphan and for the oppressed, so that those from the earth may strike terror no more. It can be hard for me anyway to hold on to that assurance through my anger. And I think that is where I lean on community to hold hope with and for me. Because yes, we will be angry. Yes, we will be sad. And yes, absolutely, the rulers and forces of injustice will try to undo us. Just this morning on the way here, I was listening to KEX or KOW and talking about AI interference with elections, trying to divide our communities and our nation even further and to deepen those divisions. The forces of injustice will try to undo us, but we are a we are a community, and together we are with God, and we need not fear. And for that, I give thanks. Just like the little toddler in the video, I say, thank you, Mama. I'm so grateful for God's presence with us.